Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Charge by Kate C. Wells. Narrated by Jillian Macy and Tor Tom. Chapter 1. Kayla. A bearded biker with a man bun is checking out my ass. If today wasn't already the worst, it'd make me kind of uncomfortable. As it is, of course there's a pervy old biker ogling my ass. The way my life has been going, I'm surprised he doesn't have his whole club sitting next to him, like the ice skating judges at the Olympics, scoring my ass as I haul boxes up this rickety iron staircase, which I'm pretty sure is actually a fire escape, and that has to be out of compliance with all kinds of codes. I hope Jimmy doesn't notice this guy. Shit, where is Jimmy? My eyes fly to the Corolla. No surprise, he's not where he's supposed to be, guarding the open trunk. I should have known that ploy wouldn't work. Not now that he's a big six. The other day, he woke up in the middle of the night and caught me crying over the checkbook. He gave me this stern look and flipped the book shut. "Mama, go to bed," he'd said. "I'm a big six now. You don't have to worry anymore." Right. He can't have gotten far. I picked this place in part because it's like a zoo for kids. Lots to look at, but no real danger. We're at the bottom of a cul-de-sac, next to the shallowest, laziest stretch of the Luckahannock. The railroad runs on a trestle, two stories overhead. I do a quick scan. The swampy mud bank where the river must have risen during the spring thaw. The wall of cattails thick enough that even Jimmy at his stubbornness couldn't get through them without a scythe. And more upper body strength than a big six can muster. The squat prefab house with a handicap ramp and pier next door, where the biker sits on the front stairs, swigging his beer and leering. Then I check out the main reason I signed the lease. The big old patch of green behind our new place, with its swing set without a swing and droopy weeping willow. And there he is, swinging from the willow branches, frowning and muttering to himself. "That's my Jimmy. Can't stay put. Won't stay still. Doesn't care to smile, not even when he was a baby. He's the crankiest old man of a little boy you'll ever meet. And I love him just the way he is. Grumpy and perfect and mine. And I'm taking care of him. Even if this all doesn't really feel much like taking care of a lot of the time." A few weeks ago, I realized we needed to downsize from our one bedroom in town with utilities. I was 2 months behind on rent, and I didn't need Dad and Victoria finding out about an eviction. So I found this second floor studio without utilities on the outskirts of Petty's Mill. Rent is $300 less a month, but no utilities included means my electric can get cut off. Can and will, if I don't pay the electric on time. Which has a good chance of happening eventually because... math. Basic addition and subtraction. I've only got a GED, and Petty's Mill doesn't even have a mill anymore. I've got a decent thing going as a picker at the General Goods Warehouse, but that's all contingent on the Corolla not dying on me. And a few weeks ago, along with the rent being late, and Jimmy's teacher calling about how she caught the other kids teasing him about his dollar store backpack, the Corolla contracted a bit of a death rattle. It shudders a little each time I turn it off now, as if it's saying, "That's the last time, lady. Seriously, I've had enough." I know the feeling. After all, the Corolla and I have been knocking around about the same amount of time. It was my mom's before she passed, and it sat around in Dad's garage until I turned 16, and Victoria figured it was either get it working again or keep driving me places. Anyway, it's almost 20, and I'm 21. If I've made it this long, a Toyota should sure be able to chug along a few more years. Right. My arms full of a box of dishes, I swing the door open with my hip. Maybe harder than strictly necessary, because life kind of sucks. I'm sweating under my boobs, my thighs are rubbing, and my shorts are riding up. And an unemployed biker is taking it all in like I'm the damn nature channel. I bang my hip bone good on the knob, and I can't stop the whimper. Oh, baby, don't hurt it. Ain't nobody want a bruised peach. Oh, good. The biker's decided to step it up to catcalling. I drop the box and rub my hip. He's right about one thing. That's gonna leave a mark. I kick-scoot the box to the far wall, the one that serves as a kitchen with a sink, a stovetop, no oven, and a yellow-green fridge from the 70s. There's a smell coming from the fridge, but I can't worry about that now. I have half a Corolla left to unload, and Jimmy's not going to be content swinging on the willow tree forever. He's going to get bored, and a bored Jimmy is the devil's plaything. I don't think he can climb a railroad trestle, but he can start making plans and gathering equipment. I turn to make another trip, but before I take two steps, boots on the iron stairs sets the metal clanging. Big boots. Shit. Shit, shit, shit. I dart my gaze around the apartment, but I've got nothing. The kitchen knives are in a box in the car. So are the standing lamp and Jimmy's t-ball bat. The furniture I reassembled yesterday isn't much help. It's more cardboard than anything. It's broad daylight, though, and everyone's windows are open. Besides, it's 10 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday. It's fine. I'm fine. My heart's still in my throat, though, and my skin goes hot and clammy. At least Jimmy's out back. The screen door flies open. Where you want these peaches? His voice is normal, casual. He's carrying a box on each shoulder, the heavy ones I'd marked hold from the bottom. There. I nod toward the bathroom. When he saunters over, all 6 feet 4 inches of him, I take the opportunity to duck out the door. The weight bearing down on my chest lifts, and I can breathe again. I wipe my hands down my shorts. And I start to feel dumb. Like my friend Sue always says, not everyone has nefarious intentions. He's probably your average guy just trying to be neighborly. It's not like I don't know his type. The places Jimmy and I have lived since I got him back. Guys like him are par for the course. But that's not what this guy is seeing when he comes back out and rakes his eyes down my front, making the weird cold sweats come back big time. This guy thinks I'm something I've never been, a sorority girl maybe, the girl next door. He's eating me up with his eyes, and it's one part creepy, and another part amazing. Like, I'm amazed this is happening. This never happens. My body's okay. My tits are on the big side, and I'm the kind of curvy that makes a number 8 when I lay on my side. But I know my face and hair are nothing much, and I'm short. You wouldn't know it by how long this guy is taking to give me the once-over. And, yeah, I was totally wrong about his age. He's not old enough to be my dad. More like 30 or so. And now that he's close enough to touch, my stomach starts flipping like a dog doing tricks. The face behind the beard. Dude is gorgeous. Movie star, chiseled jaw, freaking twinkling sky blue eyes gorgeous. Full lips and thick shiny hair and veiny muscled forearms like an Italian sculpture. Bright white teeth. He smells good, too, kind of like molasses. Oh, shit. He's grinning. He noticed me staring. Of course he did. The landing's narrow, but several feet long, and he's standing close, not giving me space. He's ducked past me, and he's leaning against the siding, all James Dean. He has probably noticed the sweat above my upper lip, and the dried milk in my hair from the mishap with the straw this morning. This isn't awkward. Not at all.
Like what you see, Peaches?
My name's not Peaches.
That's what I went with. Not thanks, but no thanks.
Get lost, hard pass. Damn, I need to get tougher. The biker isn't deterred, not in the least. His grin widens.
I know, babe. It's a nickname, on account of your ass being shaped like a peach.
I drag in a breath. That's right. Dude's definitely drop-dead gorgeous. Italian marble asshole biker. I gathered that, pervert. Let me pass. I hadn't meant it to come out as a question. A tough chick would tell him to move, push past. She wouldn't stare at his thick, beautiful brown hair with the caramel streaks and wonder why God always makes pretty things bad for you.
I ain't a pervert. I'm a... what do you call it? An aficionado.
Of fruit? He laughs. Oh, Lord, even his laugh is gorgeous, deep and raspy, but warm and easy at the same time, like fingers tripping down a piano at the low end of the octaves.
Yeah, sure, whatever you want to call it.
Can I get past?
I don't know, Peaches. Wouldn't you rather sit up here, feel the breeze while I bring the rest of the boxes up? Then you can get me a beer and tell me all about where you're from and what your interests are and...
Oh, yeah? You want to have a conversation with me? Get to know me? Why is it the hottest guys have the worst lines? Besides, dude is a grown-ass man. Aren't grown-ass men supposed to be smoother than this?
Nah, let me finish, woman. You can tell me all about your stressful moving day while I cup that perfect peach of an ass and work the kinks out of your aching back.
He... what?
Don't look so shocked. You telling me ain't nobody ever remarked on that perfect ass before?
Nope, sure haven't. Not this specifically. God, I wish I had a comeback. I know I'll have one at 2 a.m. when I wake up with this dude's gravelly, playful voice in my head, and a picture of what he's describing burning in my brain. Damn, I need to get him gone before...
Mama, look what I found!
Before this. What happens next happens in slow motion, and it's so cliched, it'd be comical if I weren't so worried that the biker will say something in front of Jimmy, and I'll have to push his enormous, smoking hot body over the railing. Jimmy bounds up to us, a cattail in his fist. The biker looks at Jimmy, looks back at me, stares back at Jimmy. Understanding, and then horror, dawn on his impossibly handsome face. He raises his hands like I've got a gun pointed at him, and takes 2 big steps back, his impossibly blue eyes searching for an escape route. He's stuck between me, my apartment, and 48 pounds of filthy, scowling, scabby-elbowed 6-year-old with an instinctive dislike of people. Especially men, talking to his mama. The biker is scared shitless. Forget me pushing him. If we weren't a full story up, he'd leap. He realizes he has his hands up like it's a stick-up, and he tries to play it cool and rub the back of his neck. He's got no sleazy lines now. It'd all be funny if it didn't kind of suck. Yeah, a lot of guys don't want a woman with a kid, especially not a 21-year-old with a kid in kindergarten. The biker is doing the math in his head,
and I can tell the exact moment when he borrows from the two and gets something like 14 or 15. His eyebrows go up, and there's some serious judgment going on behind those blue eyes. Nothing like getting judged by a long-haired, tattooed dude who's just hanging out and having a beer at 11 o'clock on a workday. Really reminds you that all things are relative. I want to say something smart, clap back like my best friend Sue can, but I've never been able to speak up for myself in the moment. Lucky, I guess, that I have Jimmy with me. He has none of my limitations. I'm making damn sure of it.
What you doing up here, mister?
The biker looks desperately at me like I have the answer. I shrug. I don't know, Pervin?
Nothing, little man. Just helping your ma with a box.
Mama don't need your help.
Doesn't, I correct. It's a habit. My mom did the same. It's funny hearing her voice come out of my mouth these days. Funny and sad and wonderful. All things I thought I'd forgotten about her have been coming back to mind since I got Jimmy back.
My mama doesn't need your help.
Jimmy says doesn't, like fuck off, mister.
I'm sure she don't, little man.
Doesn't, Jimmy says.
In a normal situation, I'd lose my mind to hear him sassing a grown-up. But I'm feeling like making an exception. Maybe I don't have the temperament to talk back, but I'm not raising the kind of kid I was. That kind of kid doesn't have a chance in this type of world.
I'm sure your mama can take care of herself just fine.
Right. Jimmy is glaring a hole in the man's forehead, but he's so tall Jimmy has to cock his head all the way back to do it. My little guy has a hand fisted on his hip and a black scowl on his face, cattail forgotten and dropped to a step. I should grab his hand, go back to the car, put some distance between us. But Jimmy's in the way, and he's got something on his mind. I'm making the let's leave face like crazy, but he's not even looking at me.
What's your name?
Jimmy squints at the patches on the man's vest as if he can read them. He can't. Not yet. He's a little slow with letters, but Mrs. Garner at school says not to worry quite yet. Just keep reading to him and taking him to story time at the library.
I'm called Charge.
That your bike?
Jimmy points to the Harley pulled up in front of the house next door.
Aye, up.
What kind is it?
Harley Davidson Fat Boy with a Milwaukee 8 big twin engine, 114 displacement.
Jimmy nods like he knows what any of those words mean.
You ever crash it?
I laid it down a few times.
Jimmy only has eyes for the bike now. Please, Lord, don't let him ask to sit on it. I don't know much about bikers, besides what I've seen on television, but I'm sure there's something in their code about letting grubby little boys climb on their ride like a swing set.
You live here? Jimmy asks.
The man, Charge, shakes his head no.
My pops lives over there.
He jerks his chin at the little house with the pier and the long ramp next to the side door.
I'm over here a lot, taking care of him.
Jimmy nods solemnly.
I take care of my mama, too.
Charge smiles, and damn, but it's half blinding. Even knowing he's an asshole, my tummy does a squishy flip.
I bet you do, little man. Help me with the rest of the boxes?
I want to say there's no need, but before I can make my stupid tongue work, Jimmy nods, and then they're both off down the stairs, Jimmy interrogating him in that slightly hostile tone he uses with strangers he deigns to speak to, which he rarely does. asking about what fish is in the river, and if Charge has a fishing pole, and if he doesn't, does Charge's pops have a fishing pole, and so on and so forth. I make a mental note to pick up one of those plastic fishing poles at one of the big box stores near Gracie's Corner the next time I visit my dad. And then the three of us carry up the rest of the boxes, Charge hauling three to our one. And many hands make for light work, as my mama used to say. Charge keeps his eyes anywhere but on my ass, and I guess I'm grateful for that. It'd be really messed up if I wasn't. If the attention was kind of intriguing. If I wanted to know, just once, what it feels like to be a normal good girl brushing off a normal bad boy. I should have higher standards for myself. That's what Sue would say. Anyway, it's not like it matters. When that last box is upstairs, Charge can't get away quick enough. He mumbles something about his pops, and then he tosses his beer bottle into the trash can under the stairs and disappears next door. I'm not sure what I should be more offended by. Him talking to me like he did, or him running off like his shirt was on fire after he saw I had a kid. But honestly, I'm not really offended, and I sure don't have time to be wistful about men. I've got to unpack, scrub the bathtub so it's clean enough to give Jimmy a bath, go down to the Rudders to pick up some beef jerky and snacks for his packed lunch tomorrow, and call Victoria so she doesn't get hysterical because she hasn't heard from me in a few days. Oh, and find out why the fridge smells. I'm a busy woman, with apparently one peach of an ass.
Chapter 2. Charge.
You strike out with the babysitter?
Pops is sitting at his table by the bay window, making lures and laughing his ass off at me. She ain't the babysitter.
No? Strike out with Teen Mom, then?
I don't dignify that with a response. I just snag up Pop's half-full beer bottle and take it into the kitchen.
Wasn't done with that.
Oh, my bad, I say, making sure he can hear me drop it in the recycling. He cackles. The burnt idiot. My mom must have been smart. I sure as shit didn't get my brains, such as they are, from the old man. Of course, after that fucking fiasco just now, I can't claim much in the way of brains. Maybe Harper took my common sense, along with my house and my dignity and my fucking dog. Yeah, I'm blaming my ex for my problems. Time-honored male tradition. I didn't make an ass out of myself on my own accord. Being with Harper has made me a moron. Why else would I think it's a good idea to dog on some barely legal chick, stone-cold sober and right in front of my pops? And using my best lines, too. Double the cheese. Did I ever have game? Or was it always my face, my bike, and the fact that I run with steel bones? I ain't gonna lie. I'm pretty as shit. Anyway, I should have noticed the car seat in the back of the beater, but I only had eyes for that ripe, juicy ass. I gotta adjust my dick. Remembering her bounce up those stairs? That ass so tight it only jiggled the littlest bit? Two perfect globes, more than a handful. The kind of ass you want to slap to watch it bob while she's bent over on all fours in front of you, staring at you over her shoulder. Shit. I'm not an ass man or anything. I'm more into the total package. But you'd have to be dead or blind not to want to take a bite. Tragic, really, about the kid. I don't do kids. I like 'em and all, if they ain't brats. But a female with a kid ain't looking to get plowed and get gone, and I ain't interested in playing daddy until it's time to bail. I'm an asshole, but not that kind of asshole. Harper and I agreed on that from the start. No kids. Kids weren't on my radar, and she wasn't looking to set aside her career for nothing or nobody. I wonder if she still thinks that way, now that she's fucking a civilian shot caller. Is a dude a civilian if he's neck deep in shit but keeps his hands clean? If he runs game from a downtown office with a view? That's a philosophical fucking question, and one I don't need to be pondering. Harper made her choice. Flush 7 years down the shitter, I don't get a choice. I get to get over it, or leave town and lose my club. In retrospect, it was a dumbass move to make the Prez's sister my old lady. Shittin' where you eat and all. Maybe I take after Pops more than I like to admit. Speaking of, I take down the bin with his meds from the top of the fridge. Where's the weekly pill thingy? I holler into the living room.
Up my ass.
He turns up the game so he can pretend he can't hear me. It's missing in action. Again. Which means he probably hasn't been taking his pills since he lost it. I was last here 2 days ago, so maybe he's missed one dose. Maybe he's missed six. Maybe Shirlene moved him. She comes around a lot since her old man passed. I don't think she's got a thing for Pops. She's just the kind of old lady who needs shit to do. Shirlene been here?
I got beers, don't I?
Guess she has, since she's the one keeps him stocked. I'll ask her about the pills next time I see her. In the meantime, I ain't gonna worry about his old stoner ass. I got enough on my plate. The Rebel Raiders have been sniffing around the Potonquin site for one. Can't figure out why. They got a plan, or they just kicking up dirt, trying to see what crawls out. Could always be fucking with us on principle. We got old ugly beef with the Raiders. Fact is that the men who founded the Raiders were steel bones once upon a time. Like a fucking rebellious kid, they don't need no real reason to start shit with us. Since I'm on project management, I gotta worry about that and still make time for the prick who's fucking my ex-fiancé when he drops by to supervise. Then, instead of going home to my lazy boy and my big screen, I'm stuck crashing at Pop's or the bunk room at the clubhouse like some prospect. And I need to get my dog back. If Pop wants to keel over from a case of the dumb fucks, I can't tear myself up over it. I check the crack between the fridge and the counter, and then I check the catch-all basket on the kitchen table. I ain't going to buy his ass another one of those weekly pill organizers. This is like the fifth one he's lost. I swear he throws them in the trash. Or he... Oh, I know where that little fucker is. I lope back into the living room to his workbench. He makes lures, mostly spinnerbait and flies. He gets Shirlene to help him sell some online, but mostly he trades them with brothers for weed. I rummage around on his bench while he bitches, and then there it is. He's got his metal bobbers stored in it. Where are the meds? I wheel him away from the bench. Check the floor underneath.
I don't know what you're talking about, 5-0.
Pops, that shit is expensive, man. I sift through his tins of feathers and safety pin spinners.
Ain't in there, officer.
He grins at me with his messed-up jack-o'-lantern face, and all I can think of is how much I love the dumb fucker. I ain't saying he was Father of the Year. He wasn't so good about remembering to feed me and never made me take a bath or go to school. But not many kids get to have all their growing-up memories be laughing their asses off, watching Looney Tunes with their old man, and riding bitch up to the mountains to score kush. And then it occurs to me. You selling them boots? You selling your pills?
I plead the second.
You plead the right to bear arms?
Hell yeah. I'm an American, ain't I?
Fuck. Pops cackles.
Chill out, Ossifer. I dropped him in the sink by accident. Almost out, anyway.
God, this was all so much easier with Harper. She'd helped look out for Pops, handled the money, and she worked, too. A gorgeous, smart, classy lawyer who got the MC lifestyle and loved to fuck dirty. And when we were together, I had it together. I wasn't some white trash ex-con with no diploma. I was the guy with the four-bedroom house in Gracie's Corner, the guy fucking the hottest shit lawyer. Now I'm the guy hitting on teen moms, the guy about to wash his pop's dirty chonies, the guy who's seriously thinking about breaking into a gated community to steal a corgi. I gotta get out of the clubhouse, throw some back, throw some punches, get the taste of loser out of my mouth. Maybe fuck some strange until I don't feel like such a fucking pussy.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?